Father, I pray that we can understand what we've been singing. I am blessed. I am healed. I am saved. Father, I am so glad we don't worship a God that was created and made out of wood or silver or gold or green paper. But Father, we serve a God that lives and moves and has His being in us, and we thank You and we praise You for that. Nate, come on up here. We're going to agree in prayer over all these prayer cards right now. There are people in here that need to be healed. I had a request this morning of somebody who's just been diagnosed with cancer. And so just lift up your hands with me to the Lord, and we're going to ask Him, Father, I pray that You would bring jobs to people that need jobs, that You would restore relationships in marriages, Father God, that You'd restore relationships between children and parents, between co-workers, Father God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we speak to that cancer in our brother's body, and we tell it to leave in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And so, Father, we just look forward to hearing the testimonies of what You're doing, Lord Jesus, in our lives. And I pray, Father God, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, You restore the power to the body of Christ that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Good morning. All right, so we've been going to the fairs. We've been going to Farm Tech Days. We've been uptown, and there's a young guy named Nate here who called me one day, and he said, I'm not real good at talking, but what I'll do is I'll carry the walking sticks with you. And since then, Nate's been going out almost every week with Jerry Forbes, and I've asked him to give a testimony of what it's like and where they're going out on the street, because we talked last week about being ministers of the gospel and Jesus sending them out two by two. And Nate goes out with Jerry and anybody else that'll go out with them. And so, Nate, just tell them what's going out on the street and give testimony.
Well, as Pastor Dave said, I'm Nate. And every Saturday we've been going out and handing out walking sticks. And we started another ministry at about 6:45 after the Saturday night service. We go out and we go to establishments that are built around sin, and we hold the cross and a sign that says, are you ready for the return of Christ? And we go to these places hoping to convict the hearts of the people going into these places to leave this place and to not go into sin that day. Some of the places are like abortion clinics or strip clubs or bars, places like that. Sorry. And some of the things that have happened have been really amazing. We've started this for about 3 months now, and we've seen miracles that I haven't seen in my life before. People pull out of this place. People come in here and do things that God just amazes me with. Some people do U-turns in the street after reading our signs. And one of the most amazing things we had was a bachelorette party pulled in, two cars, six girls got out. One of them ran over to us and said, we love Jesus, we love Jesus. And we told her, Jesus wouldn't have you go into this place of sin. And she smiled at us and she said, all right, we won't go in. She goes back to her friends and her friends say, are you guys ready to go in? And she says, no, I'm not going in there today. And they said, well, what about getting a picture here? And she said, no, we want nothing to do with this place. We're leaving. Two vehicles, six girls all pulled out of there and left that night. It was a really amazing night. I can only imagine the conversation in the car after that. Sometimes it's groups of three guys pulling in. They just look over at us. They see the sign and they pull out. Those conversations have to be crazy. But yeah, that's the ministry that we're in. And if anyone wants to know more, you can see me after the service or find Pastor Dave or Jerry Forbes and speak to us and you can get involved. It's a pretty easy ministry. All we do is hold a sign and a cross. So.
Amen. Thanks, Nate. Yep. Praise Thank the you. Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up the ministry of the gospel here at Mount Zion and all the other churches, that, Lord, we would become bold for You, that we would do what the gospel tells us to do, which is go and minister. And so, Father, this morning as we open Your word, it is my prayer, Lord, first and foremost, that this body of Christ understands that God convicts but He doesn't condemn. And Lord, this morning as we talk about difficult things and the state of a church that I believe in America that's been led astray, and we try to bring it back to a place where, Lord, it's Your will for the body of Christ and to restore power, that, Lord, we'll hear with discerning ears. We'll be patient as You're patient with us, but that, Lord, You will live and move and have Your being in us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your outline and you're looking at it right now, the first point I'm going to start out with is this. A church in constant debate cannot stand. A church in constant debate cannot stand. A church that always capitulates over what's really true and what's not true. In Genesis chapter 3, the first verse, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?'" The point I want to make to you is the first thing the serpent did when he talked to Eve was try to get Eve into a debate over what's right and what's wrong and what did God really mean. We could say it's one of the oldest tricks in the book, can't we? But that's what he did. He started her on a debate immediately. What's right, what's not right? And she began to debate with him, and he swayed her. And what I see in America, especially today, is the church is in debate in all kinds of different areas, all right? Now, I'm going to bring some of these areas up, and I'm going to be specific. And remember what I said. Jesus is here this morning to convict you of sin so that you can repent and you can change and turn around. He's not here to condemn you and to send you to hell. It's very important as I embark on this right now. The church debates about abortion. If we read the Word of God, is there really a debate? There's not, but they debate it. And to prove it, I read an article this week that says 47% of attendees in mainline denominations say abortion is okay at any case. I'm here to tell you, church, that just, it scares me. That says almost half of the people who are going to church in a mainline denomination today say abortion's fine, it should be legal, and there's nothing wrong with it in any case, no matter where it's at and what time of gestation it is. And the churches are in debates over this. See, is abortion, should it be legal? Shouldn't it be legal? Is it okay with God? It's not okay. And I'm going to keep repeating the point, you know, a church in constant debate can't stand. Homosexuality and morality, all right? The church has been drug into a debate on if it's okay for to be a homosexual or not. And God doesn't give us a debate. He tells us what's right and wrong, but there are these huge debates. I'm going to like turn around when I say this, okay? Morality. Because I don't want to look at anybody and go, "You looked at me when you said that." Listen, sex outside of marriage is sin. You see, it's not a debate. And the church debates. And a church that's in a constant debate can never stand. The definition of marriage. Think about this, church. You know, it's a man and a woman according to God. But the church is debating, can it be a man and a man? A woman and a woman. What's next is, can a man marry his pet? Now, I'm not teasing about that. This is where the enemy is taking us. And the church is in this constant debate. Can we ordain homosexuals? The church is in a debate over this. In a church that's in a constant debate, they can never stand, you see. And how do we think see church. Today we're talking about your mind and recapturing your mind and getting the mind of Christ and renewing your mind. You go to church to renew your mind, you see. What do you think about divorce? When it comes to divorce, the church is in two ditches. Some people in the church think divorce is the unpardonable sin. Other people think there's nothing wrong with it at all. And we need to get back on the road and say at all costs, try to avoid it. But if it happens, it's not the unpardonable sin. It's not a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's not the end of life. And yet there's this debate going on all the time about it. How about forgiveness? My goodness, the church debates forgiveness. What must a man do to be saved? It's very clear in the Bible, but they're going, well, you have to do this. You didn't say that prayer right. You have to go to confession. You have to do this. No, if you're really going to be forgiven, I have to see some fruit in your life. And while all that's true, we get into this debate to where Christians are sitting in their chairs going, well, I don't know if that was really a good confession or not, see. And other people are like, forgiveness, everybody gets forgiven. Everybody goes to heaven, right? Well, what do you think about heaven? Some people don't even think it exists. They debate it in the church. What do you think about hell? Some people have come out and said there is no place such as hell. And then in America, we sit back and go, well, why isn't the power of God in the church? Well, because the church is in a constant debate. What's right? What's wrong? What does God really say? And we have to get out of the debate and get on with our life and do what God says. They debate salvation. I have to tell you, the Arminians and the Calvinists are going to be in a debate until Jesus comes back and he's going to make it all right. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to debate over that. We're going to know what's correct and we're going to say, Lord, I'm so sorry for getting in an argument over this and debating it. I'm going to throw a phrase out there for you. Are you ready? Love wins. Love wins is a phrase that's come out, two words that it was used with the guy who came out and said hell doesn't exist anymore. A very popular, listen-to preacher. There is no such thing as hell anymore. Nobody's going to hell. God loves everybody. Love wins. The other thing love wins is affiliated with is same-sex marriage, the legalization of same-sex marriage. See, and the church is in a debate over all of these things. And church, we have to stop. Back in biblical times, if you read Paul's letters, there was a debate over food, what you could eat and what you could drink, you see. Today, we're in the debate over the legalization of marijuana and different drugs and things like that. Trying to stay away from politics, but it's just impossible. What about immigration? Did anybody look in the Bible to see what God says about immigration? It's not something for debate. If we read what God does and if our nation would follow it, everything would be fine. We'd let people in after we talk to them and find out what they're doing. God says don't bring in foreigners who are going to get you to worship their gods and do A, B, C, and D. And instead of our nation looking at God's word and deciding what we should do, but he says you can welcome the foreigner and he tells you how to do it, there's nothing out there at all with God's word. It's just what this party says and that party says, and they debate and the church gets into it. What is sin? They debate sin. Is that sin or isn't it?
Well, you know, this is 2020 and in the original language.
I got news for you, folks. In the original language, sin is sin. And what God says is wrong is wrong. Did God really say? See, the enemy's always whispering in us. Now, did God really say he's coming back? The answer to that question, church, is yes. And then everybody's like, but when? And then what do? We debate.
Is there a rapture? When will the rapture be? Who's going to go? Who's not going to go? How many? And God says, stop the debate. I'm coming back. Are you ready? And the church is arguing over these things and debating over these things and actually getting in fights over these things. And Jesus is coming back, and they may be in their office fighting about when and how, when it happens, and they might be fighting after he's gone if they don't watch out. Did God really say? Yes, he did. He spoke. He's written it down for us. In 1 Kings chapter 18, on the same subject, a church in constant, you see, a church in constant debate cannot stand. 1 Kings 18, verse 21, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him. And I read that and I say the church has been lured into an argument and in this constant debate where we capitulate between two opinions. To where the church is divided, saying, well, my church allows this, my church doesn't allow that. And, oh, you're right. No, we're right. And that's exactly what the enemy wants from us, church. And this morning I'm here to help you to get your mind straight about what God says, because if you don't get your mind straight, your heart will be wrong. Chapel this Tuesday with Mount Zion Christian School, I brought my ruler in here, and I had the students come up. I took a student from every grade, and I brought him up here, and I said, put one hand where you think your brain is, where you think, and put the other hand where your heart is, and we measured it. It's 10 and one-third inches from their brain to their heart on an average for our school children, okay? And I'll show you at the end of this message where your brain and your heart are connected. And God cares about how you think, and you have to think properly. And we can't be in debate about the things of God. We have to know what God says, and we have to make it up in our mind that we're going to follow him. So your next point, God is willing and able to adjust your thinking. Did you know God can adjust your thinking? Philippians chapter 3, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, okay? Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What? Salvation, winning the prize for the high call of God in Christ Jesus. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That brings out forgiveness. The Apostle Paul said, I've been forgiven for what I've done wrong, you see, and I'm pressing on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's heaven. All of us then who are mature. Now listen, I wonder how many of you are going, oh, he's talking about me. As many of you who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, listen, church, that too God will make clear to you. That's my prayer this morning. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. If our thinking is not with the mind of Christ, that you would let us think clearly and that you would change how we think and make it clear today. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears. Now listen, many live as enemies of the cross. Nate and Jerry set the cross up and it offends and it gets a reaction. They live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Now listen, their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We have to get our mind right. We have to think properly, okay? Romans 12.
verses 1 and 2, they should be spiritual warfare times tables, okay? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed where and how? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I present to you this morning, the church in America can't find God's perfect will because they're debating over what God says and doesn't say. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to the end of the chapter. What we have received, Paul says, is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Where do you understand it? In your mind. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Now listen, he cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Church, do you have the mind of Christ? And unless we get our thinking straight, the church will be powerless. The church is penniless because they don't have their mind straight on tithing and what belongs to God and what belongs to us. Look at your next point. Going to church helps keep your mind on the concerns of God. See, what are your concerns all about? What are you thinking about? I'm here to tell you, if you don't go to church, if you don't hear the Word of God, if you don't fellowship with people who love Jesus and talk about Jesus and see Jesus work and want to see Him come back, then you will be fed by the world, and then your mind will be on the concerns of the world and not on the things of God. And when people say, why go to church? Say, to have your mind renewed, to have hope. There are people out there in the world who are hopeless, who are listening to the news, and if they would come to church, somebody would say to them, oh wait, I've been there, I've lost everything before, and God rebuilt my life. And they would find hope. But church, when the world gets you down, they step on your neck. And if you come to church, you'll get your mind on the things of God. Mark chapter 8, all right, verses 31 through 38. Mark chapter 8. Very familiar passage. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. Jesus says, here's how I'm going to save all of your souls. Here's how I'm going to bring forgiveness. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. If you read the other accounts in the Gospels, it says, Peter said, Lord, this will never happen to you. Now look it, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He turned and he looked at all the disciples and he saw that they were listening to Peter and they were going, Lord, you can't do this. We're not going to let you go to the cross. He rebuked Peter, get behind me, Satan, he said. Now listen, everybody gets hung up on get behind me, Satan. Oh, he called Peter the devil. Stop at church. Just stop for a minute. Get the point. We missed the point. He says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. In the grand scheme of things, Peter's the guy he's going to choose to lead his troops into battle after he's ascended into heaven. But he says, you have in mind the things of man. See? Get the concerns of God, church. You see, when I look at my children, I look at my grandchildren, I want to think like God and I want to restore God's order to this world because I don't want my children to grow up in a godless environment. Going to church helps to keep your mind on the concerns of God. Did God really say? Yes, God really said this. In church, we have to start thinking the proper thoughts. Next point, a church with the mind of Christ will wage war against the wiles of the devil and win. If you want good news today, right there it is. The church with the mind of Christ will wage war against the wiles of the devil and we will win. But again, why is the church powerless? Because they're in debate all the time. And the enemy wants to get us to argue, and the enemy wants us, well, we have what you don't have, and you know, you got that wrong, and I think this is right, and God didn't mean this. Let's read His Word and take His Word and get it in our mind and in our heart. And a church with the mind of Christ will wage war against the wiles of the devil, and we will win. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the first six verses. Again, this should be spiritual warfare times tables. Like, you know, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You should know what it says in the text when you wage war in the world. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, he's humble. But bold towards you went away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. There's the wrong thinking again, church. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. Where do arguments start? In our minds. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Where's your thought life, church? And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And Paul is saying, come on, get the mind of Christ. Think like God thinks. Don't think worldly. Paul was in a setting of immorality in Corinthians. Religion in Corinth was to be immoral. Do you know that? It was a religious exercise. And Paul said, don't do that. Don't you know that your bodies are members of the body of Christ? You are not your own, he said. But where is our thinking? And if we get the mind of Christ, we will take the thoughts captive that say, go ahead, be immoral. You'll take that thought captive and you'll say, no, Lord, I would never do that to you. The Bible says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to get drunk, Lord. I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm going to move with you. When the world says, well, that's an unwanted pregnancy, just stamp it out. No big deal. You take that thought captive and you say, no, Lord, that's a human life. My Bible says God opens and closes the womb. And you take it captive and you make it subject to Jesus. It's so important, church, that we get the mind of Christ. And here's why. How you think is who you are. Proverbs 23:7 in the New King James Version says it, for as he thinks in his heart. I told you, your head and your heart are connected. As he thinks in his heart. Isn't that a peculiar phrase in the Proverbs? As you think, wait a minute, up here. No, as you think in your heart, it goes from here to here in a millisecond. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says the sin in a man doesn't come from outside. He says it comes from inside, what's in his heart. And this morning, what I want to say to you is, where's your thought life? And really, what I'm teaching you this morning is to how to wage warfare against the wiles of the devil, because he's all over this nation trying to get us to be pulled down and to fall into sin and to make an excuse for sin and to go ahead and live in sin and to pay no attention to the Word of God, not have the mind of Christ, but to have the mind of the world. And then the church goes, well, I just don't know why God doesn't work like He used to work. And I'm here to tell you, if we get our mind with the mind of Christ, and we take thoughts captive, the power will return to the church. The Holy Spirit will take up residence. He will abide. You will speak to the devil and he will flee. You will speak to illness and it will be gone. You will discern what's from him, what's not from him. I grew up a long time ago. I was a little kid. Anybody remember Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, huh? Two of the corniest guys ever put on film. But as a young boy, I can remember seeing those two guys, and they'd bring this girl along with them named Ann Margaret. And what they did right there, and some of you are nodding your heads, they took our entire nation into immorality and promiscuity, and they made jokes about it. I can still see Jerry Lewis acting weird and funny and everybody laughing at him, chasing her around. And I'm thinking, Lord, look what happened. And at that time, I didn't know how to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. And our nation is in this church, man. Our nation hangs in the balance. If we will get the mind of Christ, what would happen at Mount Zion Christian Church if we get the mind of Christ and we begin to think like Jesus and we agree with Jesus and we say no to sin and we say yes to holiness? The end result, church, it'll be revival. It will be a move of God. It will be an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. So, Father, we come to You right now in the precious name of Jesus. And, Lord, this is my prayer, and I want to invite all of you after this service, because we have plenty of time. It's only 6 minutes after 10. If you're in here and you're going, Lord, I've been thinking wrong about this. I've been thinking it's okay to do this, and it's really not, and it says it in Your Word. Then what I would love to see is you would go up to that altar and you would talk to God about it. And you would say, Lord, please, help me to see this the way You see it. Settle it in my heart. Bring a peace to me about it. Father, I ask You to take Your Word this morning. I ask You to let it accomplish in each of our minds and then in our heart and in our actions what You've sent it to do this morning. And Father, I want our church to be able to do warfare, and I want us to be ready for You to come back, and I want to be on Your side. And so, Father, send Your Spirit to not condemn us, but to convict us this morning so that we can turn, and that, Lord, we can have Your mind. And then, Lord, there will be victory in the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Altar's open. If you need prayer, we're here. God bless you.